blatantly as you are, green light some more. And you cannot blame white society for green lighting the further killings of black people when you are sitting here today enabling them by quote unquote forgiving some more. You're part of the problem. You are right there with Dylan Roth, reloading his gun. You're right here reloading his gun. No, I'm going to say it just like that. If you are preaching forgiveness to black people as we are being murdered, then you are in collusion with the killers. And I will go one step further in case you thought I misspoke. Any black church that is burned down, and then they come back talking about we forgive the people who burned down our church. You buck dancing slaves don't need a church. You deserve to come back and stand in front of that pile of ashes that represents your absolute and total loss of character. You deserve that. You deserve that. That's exactly where you need to be. The telephone lines are now open. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your personal access code to the blackest radio program in existence, the only of its kind on planet Earth today. You are definitely invited to join us. It is July 4th. And I did notice that there is a bit of a decrease in our listenership today. And that is perfectly fine by me. That I am so happy to see that. I'm so happy to see that because, you see, we need a thinning of the herd. We desperately need a thinning of the herd. I don't want any fakers with me. I don't want any pretenders. I don't want any phonies. I only want people who understand that the situation that we are in and will stick to their character and their integrity. But first, you gotta have that. First, you gotta have character and integrity. You first have to have it. And can we just be honest about this? Can I just say that most black people today are completely and thoroughly lacking in character and integrity? You see, that's what being a slave does to you. In order to accept being a slave, which is a whore, in order to accept that, you have to surrender your character and integrity. You got to give that up. Because, you see, you're hoping that the Associated Press or CNN or ABC will come and stop by and shove a microphone in your mouth and tell you, all right, little Sambo, dance this here jig. You want to be on TV, don't you? I forgive, dance them feet faster. I forgive, forgive, forgive. Forgive, forgive. Yes, sir, boss, I forgive it. And I'm telling you that that is giving white supremacy the green light to murder us all. They've got us right where they want us, where even when they kill a bunch of us, that we are the first ones who jump up in line to say, get this story off the front page. It's no longer news. We have moved on. When you say, I forgive this person, you are saying, I have moved on. We've moved on. They're standing over the bodies that have not even gotten cold yet, and they are saying, we've moved on. We moved on. We don't want to talk about it anymore. We don't want to talk about it. This is a done deal. And of course, all that really does, that encourages the next killers who are going to jump up and say, you know what? So glad you said that, because my goal is to knock off a bunch more of you. That's my goal now, is to see how many more of you that I'd be able to kill if I can. If I can get a bunch more of you, let's go ahead and do that. Because you see, he was just the one who walked in and did it. His goal was never, he never for a second thought that he was going to kill a bunch of us. His goal was simply to prove that it could be done. If there are enough of the others of you out there that had the guts to do it, it could be done. And now let us create an atmosphere and an environment where killing these Negroes is just a way of life. Dylan Roth expressed the true heart of the white supremacist American social order and of the rank and file white supremacist society today. Expressed what they really feel. And that's why he has such overwhelming support. The silence has been deafening. You had a few politicians who said a couple of lines, but beyond that, nothing. And they're trying to make a point to you. They want you to accept it. They want you to go along with this in some way, implicitly or explicitly, tacitly or not. They want you to go along with it. And if you will just go along, everything will be all right. Just go along with this. Don't make no trouble. Just go along. Today is July 4th, but for Intelligent Black Society, Independence Day this year will be August 1st. Not in Philadelphia. Not in Washington, D.C., not Independence Day there. It will be held in Chicago, Illinois. And I'm inviting all of you to join us. You'll have a group of men far better than the founding fathers of America. You will have Dr. Claude Anderson, the godfather, and I guess you could say a founding father of black economics. Dr. Boyce Watkins, attorney out in Maddox. That's where we will be. Because you got to understand, Dylan Roth and his ilk, they're not afraid of your praying and your protesting, and your forgiveness makes them laugh. Your forgiveness makes them laugh. It makes them laugh. They giggle with glee when they see that, because all you're doing is reinforcing to them that you are the weak. And evolution does not favor the weak. Evolution favors the fast and the strong and the smart. And forgiveness is neither fast nor strong nor smart. Not for something like this, it isn't. Not for something like this. This isn't something that you forgive. You forgive someone that you wish to remain attached to. You do not forgive someone who has given up and surrendered their right to be called a civilized human being. You don't forgive that. Only a slave forgives massa for beating him. Only a slave does that. Only a slave. I'm not going to stay here too long tonight. I see some phone calls on the board here. I'll probably just only do a couple of them. We're not going to be here too long tonight because, of course, there's work that needs to be done as we get ready for Chicago here. I'll see if we can just take a couple of phone calls in the meantime. Let me see. Caller from 678, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 678, white supremacy is calling in just to check and see if we're all listening here tonight. Yes, we are here live in attendance. Of course, because if they're listening for us, we should, of course, be listening for them. I've noticed a frightening, disturbing amount of the desire for cognitive dissonance among Black people today, that we are propping up white supremacy, agents of white supremacy, false prophets, soothsayers, con men, phonies in our own midst, that we are so desirous to run and hide from our responsibilities as a people and as men, that we are actually trying the disgusting, the improbable, and the impossible to cower our way to survival. And I want to say to you that no society ever survived by building itself upon its cowards. And that's why I'm calling the few. I'm not calling the masses. I would be worried. If I show up in Chicago, if we get up to 10,000 people, 50,000 people buying tickets for Chicago, if they don't just come from just everywhere, I would be worried about that. I'd be worried about that. If this was the type of thing that could get 50,000, 100,000 people to show up, I'd be looking at it differently and saying, hey, maybe something's wrong with what I'm doing. Maybe something's wrong with this. Maybe this is a problem. Maybe I need to look at this differently. Maybe I need to look at this differently because, you see, I ain't got nothing in common with the masses. I don't. This is why all these people out here with their conscious community, you know, lecturing and DVD sales and ho-tepping and foot-stepping and high-stepping and all that mess, that's why I don't roll with them. That's why I don't have any affiliation. And I don't because I understand that that's part of the masses. That's a mass movement. And the masses are lost. They're lost. The masses are listening to what CNN has to say. The masses are obeying Don Lemon. The masses are listening to pork chop preachers. First thing you got to do, folks, is you got to watch out for individuals who call themselves preachers or is this thing on? You got to watch out for preachers or for people who comport themselves in this pseudo-preacher type manner. They want to have a pulpit to stand behind. You can see them give the inflections like the preachers do. You got to watch out for that. And a lot of you are as weak-minded as your parents and your grandparents, and you've fallen for the same things. You've fallen for the same things. There are a lot of people out here right now suckering you all in because you are desirous to be suckered in. They see that you will treat them. You got incredulous individuals like Creflo Dollar, and it's so easy to cultivate that. It is too easy to get people to go along with that. Too easy. Far too easy. And the truth is that many of you are desirous to see that. Many of you are desirous to be a part of that. Many of you are desirous to have that. You want somebody to play the bull jive game with you the way they played it with your parents. I am the only person who has ever come out and told you all everything is not going to be all right. And then I took it further. We told you here from behind this microphone that most of us are not fit to be saved because most people in black society have accepted the programming and the conditioning. They see all this mess as valid. They see all of it as valid. They are the difference between those of us listening here and the rest of black society is that they are willing to accept the abuse and will not put in the work to stop it, and we are. That's the difference. They are willing to accept the lash on their back and the boot on their neck, and we won't. And we're willing to do what's necessary to stop it. Tell you what frightens white supremacists like Dylan Roth and Rush Limbaugh and Fox News while you all complain about them. Let me tell you what frightens them. A motivated group of black people getting together talking about what's in black people's best interests. That is what frightens them. That scares the hell out of them. What frightens them is seeing a bunch of black folk get together and talking about what we gonna do to build an economy so that we can go to war with our dollars. That frightens the hell out of them because they know that we kicked their asses at sports and we batted them around like a cat toy in the entertainment industry. Everything that we as Africans have dedicated and applied ourselves towards, we dominate and we surpass everyone time and time and time again. And what frightens them more than anything is that they are afraid that now we will take the same dedication and discipline and excellence that we brought to sports and entertainment, and we will reinvest that in our intellectual and economic capital the way that we did when we built the pyramids. Structures that to this day, they still do not know how we did it. They are scared to death that's what we're going to do. As long as they see you buck dancing and talking about forgiveness, they don't give a damn. Ain't nobody scared of that. But when they start hearing you talking about aggregating your dollars for the purposes of outperforming them, now their knees get to knocking, their spines get weak, and their lips get to trembling. Now they become afraid. Now they are worried. Now they scurry back into their holes. When they hear you talking like that, now they get worried. But you're not going to get there listening to religious cowards or pseudo-religious frauds. You're not going to get there that way. You are not going to get there listening to people, not just men, but people of no character, no integrity, no scruples, no core, no principles. You're not going to get there that way. And that's why most black people will not get there, because most black people are going to go along with that. Most black people will. They come to this place and the conversation here makes them uncomfortable. Why? Do you know that there are black folk who are actually offended at discussions that talk about black excellence? No, I'm serious. Do you know that most black people get uncomfortable when you start talking about black excellence? If it's outside of a basketball court, you talk about black folk being excellent at basketball and sports, Negroes put on their slave hats real quick. Negroes are quick to put on their slave hats when you talk about excellence in white-approved arenas. But when you start talking about places where we will go head-to-head against the dominant society, then where it counts. Head-to-head where it counts is what I said. To head where it counts, where it actually matters. All of a sudden, you find your cowards real quick. All of a sudden, they get scared real fast. All of a sudden, they're scared. All of a sudden, they're worried about being seen. All of a sudden, they don't want to discuss black excellence anymore. They get scared. They get afraid. Why? Because they realize, you just called me to do something. I'm not going to do that. I am here to get crumbs off the table from Massa. I did not come to build my own table. Let me say that again. They came to fight and scrap for crumbs off the table of Massa. They did not come for the purposes of building their own table. And they hear us discussing doing that, and they get angry with us. Because their goal is not to build their own table. Their goal is to fight for scraps at someone else's table, and we're not going with them. That's why they have to talk about forgiveness. That's the signal to Massa. That's a signal that I'm not against you. That's a signal to say, I don't know what these other niggas did to make you mad, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make you mad, is why the youth do not listen to the civil rights generation, because power does not respect weakness. Power only respects power, and that is why. That is why the youth do not respect the civil rights generation. They don't respect them because the youth understand that the civil rights generation does not actually have anything to offer them. That's the reason why. Because the black youth of today got some courage. And courage is power. And power does not respect weakness, because cowardice is weakness. And the youth do not respect you, because the youth are the courageous, which makes them strong. And the elders and the olders, you are the cowards, and that makes you weak. And oh yeah, they hate it because I said it just like that, but I meant it just that way. The young black people of today, those below the age of 30, those below the age of 25, those below the age of 20, those below the age of 16, they respect what we do here, because they are the ones getting gunned down by police. They are the ones getting denied jobs, and they won't butt dance. The young black people ain't gonna dance no jig. They ain't gonna sing no songs. They're not talking about "Hello, Miss Ann." Because they ain't got nothing to beg for. They're not giving no freebies, these young black people. They're not giving nothing to them. So they ain't dancing. They're not playing the game, because they're not getting nothing out of that game. And that is what keeps them honest. Too bad their parents and grandparents can't say the same, huh? Too bad they can't say the same. Too bad they can't say the same. As black people, especially the young black people today, I have made a conscious effort to warn you about these older black folk, because church is a repository for individuals in black society who have given up on the idea of acquiring power, wealth, and influence. Oh, did I offend you when I said that? Should I repeat it? Church has become a repository for black people who have failed in life, and so they are attempting to appeal to a deity who will hopefully circumvent the rules on their behalf, hopefully. and allow them to succeed when in reality they're, or at least award them a trophy for winning when in reality they have already lost. They are in those churches, piled up, letting folk slaughter them. And my question is, do you wish to be one of the slaughtered? Because they are now lined up in their churches bragging to anybody who'll show up that they consider it a badge of honor. Now, they got gunned down and killed and have the quote-unquote strength and courage to, quote, forgive the white supremacist racist society that kills them. And all it took was a newspaper reporter or CNN to put a microphone in their faces and went right for it. And that was all it took. Caller from 912, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First, Destiny.
What's on your mind, sister?
I was calling because of what you said about white supremacy not giving us anything. And I was driving today and through Durham, North Carolina, where they started NC Mutual Insurance. And when I drove by the building, what came across my mind was the fact that, you know, white people not insure blacks because their life expectancy wasn't, you know, as long as white people. But when I thought about it, because that was the whole reason why NC Mutual Life was started, to give black people insurance. And when you think about that time period, it came across my mind, it was like, well, it's because they were lynching black people at that time. Why would they give insurance or allow black people to get insurance through a white company when if they turn around and lynch that person, then they're going to have to pay out for their wrongdoing. So, yeah, that was, I'm like, that's basically, you know, it's what they were doing. They didn't want to have to pay for what they were doing.
That's rather ironic having those structures are set up like that. We talk about a lot of things in America. We don't talk about the insurance companies and how they profited. We don't talk about a lot of these structures, the insurance companies, the banks, the real estate companies, how they have profited off of us and build these complex financial systems whereby which they try to obfuscate or avoid taking responsibility for what they've done. But absolutely, if you take a look at these things, you start to see all kinds of basically what you're describing are laws that enable them and do not protect us. Laws that protect them but don't protect us. And it's like, wow, that's kind of interesting how that doesn't apply, doesn't it? Well, of course it doesn't apply. I mean, we're here to kill you people. That's the goal. Exactly. That's the job. We're here to kill you. We are not here to...
And then the fact that they were actually prospering, they were actually, in a certain part of them, they were actually prospering. It's like, if they had allowed blacks to get insurance and the blacks, you know, the right ones would have been able to pour more into their community and be able to build it up because, you know, basically Durham has this thing where they say that they created a black Wall Street, but, of course, they let it die down. So, I mean, it could have helped boost what black people were doing at the time. Now, whether or not Civil Rights Generation would have messed it up is another story, but, I mean, it could have been bigger than what it was.
But what research has determined is that as long as you will give white people one degree of separation between the deaths of black people and themselves, they will accept whatever has happened if it benefits them. Now, as long as they have to do it themselves, they're not going to sign on for that. That is why when Dylan Roth kills black people, the majority of white society will be accepting of it. They'll just accept it tacitly, but they'll accept it. When you tell them that they have to co-sign on it directly, they won't accept it. But if you don't ask them to co-sign it directly, what they will refuse to do is to condemn it. Now, that they will refuse to do. They just won't condemn it. That's that degree of separation. Give me an out. Give me a degree of separation where I can witness it but do not have to actively take part. Let me passively take part. And I will let it slide. I didn't kill these black folk, but I work on the plantation. I didn't own any slaves, my granddaddy did. You notice that?
I love that excuse.
As long as you give them a degree of separation, they'll roll with it. They'll roll with it. And that is the way it has always been. So we are defining humanity in an incorrect manner. We are trying to subscribe humanity to people who are not humane. And that's what cowardice does to you.
Yeah, it's quite sad. I don't know. Got to get it together.
Those of us who understand have already got it together. Those who do not understand, like I say, the chips are already down for them. Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight, Steph. Do give us a join in again. As long as you provide white society with a degree of separation, the majority of white society will simply sign on passively. Give them a way to not die. They won't directly kill you, but they will keep whatever benefits they receive from it. As long as they won't directly do it, but they'll keep the benefits of it. They will keep those. There is no such thing as blood money in a white culture. There is no such thing. There's just money. There is no such species as blood money. Doesn't exist. Killing you is simply the cost of doing business. There is no such animal as blood money. Getting rid of you is just the way things are done. That's all. It's just the way things are done. That is why forgiveness does not work. Forgiveness only works when the person that you are forgiving has a moral conscience, and we are dealing with individuals with neither morals nor conscience. You cannot deliver or offer forgiveness to someone who does not understand or subscribe to the concept of humanity. You cannot offer them forgiveness. You can't do that. You can mouth the words, but you're as foolish as hell. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You are being offered many things today, and many of you are being offered the opportunity to slaughter yourselves. Just sit quietly, kind of like they did on the plantations. Just sit quietly while they gun you down, cut you down, murder you in the streets. Just sit quietly. Don't complain. Don't fight back. Rationalize away to yourself. Come up with some way to rationalize it to yourself. Why? What was done to you should not garner an equally vigorous response. Do that yourself. We just offer you this concept of forgiveness, and you take care of connecting the dots to rationalize away to yourself why you should not respond, because that is what forgiveness means. Don't respond. And the white racist culture that we live in today is obsessed with making sure that we do not respond. Take the abuse, take the beating, but you mustn't respond. Just take the abuse, but don't respond to it. And they want to catch you all as young black people. They want to catch the youth, and they want to beat any type of courage or dignity out of you now before you start subscribing to new concepts. They want to beat that out of you now. I'm going to see about taking one more call here. Caller from 406, you're on live with the Black Channel.
We just offer you this concept of forgiveness, and you take care of connecting the dots.
Okay. Somebody out there is playing with their telephones. Caller from 917, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay. Stop saying, oh, we want to tune in here tonight. What happens is they call up and they tell their friends, I will call in. And their friends tell them, no, you won't. You're not going to do that. And they say, oh, yes, I will. I'll call in. I'll do it. I'll do it. And they say, then we actually answer the phone. They get scared. That's the way it is. That is the reason why talking about forgiveness is so ludicrous and outlandish. You are discussing forgiving somebody that you should be stepping on and squashing like a bug. We should be stamping out white supremacists like the roaches that they are. To hell with forgiveness. We should be stepping on them like bugs, and we're not doing that. We're not doing that. What we're doing is we're trying to figure out some way that we can be cowards in our own right and tell ourselves, oh, well, it's all right for me to do that. They can't even call up. They're too cowardly to even speak when a real African answers the phone. And you're talking about me forgiving them? You get the hell away from me. I don't have to forgive anything. As a matter of fact, you are a traitor to our people if you do. You are a traitor if you do, because you are teaching our children to be cowards to individuals who cannot even speak. That if you look them in the eye, they would run, and you're teaching your children to be cowards of them. To hell with forgiveness. And any black person who attempts to proselytize forgiveness and promote forgiveness among us. I don't want forgiveness. I want justice. You can seek forgiveness at the gates of hell when we send you there. He says, white America's not looking for forgiveness. That's great to hear that, because intelligent black society ain't offering none. Very glad to hear that, because we ain't offering you any. And I have absolutely no use for any black person who wishes to see us so weak that we go around like paupers begging for it. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the Black Channel Radio Program. Remember, at our website, theblackchannel.net, tickets are on sale to join us August 1st in Chicago, Illinois. Join us live as we have business people there, as we have financial representatives there, and of course, as we are represented, and we'll be having a roundtable discussion, a first of its kind ever. The first ever roundtable discussion, which will be featuring Dr. Claude Anderson, Dr. Boyce Watkins, and Attorney Alton Maddox. You cannot get a better event, venue, experience than you are going to have here. It is a first of its kind. It is a one and only of its kind, and you will only be able to see this there. Tickets are on sale now at theblackchannel.net. Go ahead and get them and join us in Chicago on August 1st for Black Empowerment 1. And this concludes tonight's broadcast. I'm your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, Black is the future, and the future is August 1st.